So this is a Shia for Purim, today's Purim. We're going to start with the Perek Tes in Megillus Esther. Vayomim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim b'chol dar v'dar, mishpachol mishpacha medino medino v'ir v'ir. V'yemei ha'purim ha'ele lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim v'zichram lo yosef mizara. So the two things that we want to point out here. First of all, yemei ha'purim, which might be a reference to Yudalit and Tesvav, meaning the Prozim and the Mukafim, or it might even be a reference to the 5 days of Megillus Esther, which we'll see in the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Megillah in just a minute. The second thing I want to point out is that Lo Yavru Mitoch HaYehudim V'Zichram, etc., Lo Yosef Mizaram, this would seem to be indicated in the fact that Chachamim established a Masechta. And why do I say that? Because there's a comment of Shimon Bar Ba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan the Yerushalmi, and he says on this pasuk, V'zichram lo Yosef Mizaram Mikan Shekavula Chachamim Masechta. It means that the word Zichram, Zecher, that always indicates Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebichsav, of course, is the Megillah itself, which is one of the 24 holy books. But in addition to that, we have Torah Shebal Peh, which is called Masechta Megillah. And that's hinted at by this pasuk, V'zichram lo Yosef Mizaram. And whenever you see the word Zichram, you're talking about Torah Shebal Peh. Now we're going to take a look at a sefer, which is one of the commentaries of contemporary life, that's called Yemei HaPurim. And he points out that there's something very special about the Yeshua of Purim, the salvation of Purim, that not only did it deserve an additional book in the Tanakh, in the Torah Shebichsav, but in addition, a Torah Shebal Peh, a Masechta unto itself. And that's something that we don't find anywhere, that because of a miracle, we have both Torah Shebichsav and another Masechta in Torah Shebal Peh. What's so special about the salvation of Purim? Now, it's very interesting that the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Dalet, actually has a Hava Mina, that within the framework of Kriyas HaMegillah, we should be not only reading the Megillah, but we should also be studying Masechta Megillah. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chayav Adam Likros HaMegillah B'Layla Shanosim B'Yom. And the Gemara derives, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi derives from a pasuk in Tanakh, that the Megillah reading is both at night and during the day. Sover minei, there was a havamin in the Gemara to think that lemikre b'layla, how do we fulfill this double chiyuv of layla and then yom? We should read the Megillah at night. Ulemisne masnisim didei b'yamama, and during the day we should be studying Masechta Megillah. Excuse me. And that really clinches the overlap here between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, that maybe Kriyas HaMegillah should be accompanied by the study of Masechta Megillah. Now, I don't know if during the day of Purim we could read through the entire Masechta Megillah. That would take too long. But maybe it means certain highlights, and especially those interpretations of the Pesukim in Tanakh, that's Torah Shebal Peh. Amalei, so Rav Yirmiya said, no, l'didei mefarshin le'mina d'Rav Chiya bar Abba, kigon di'amri inshi avar parshos ha'da v'asnei. So the final maskon of the Gemara is that Mi'ikra Din is only a chiyuv kriyas HaMegillah, and he's going to repeat the Torah Shebichsav. But the Havamin is very interesting. And the Gemara thought that within the framework of the Takana of Chazal of kriyas HaMegillah, we'd have to repeat it, and not the Megillah itself, but we'd have to learn the Torah Shebal Peh of the Torah Shebichsav. So that's an interesting
hub. I'm not mistaken, the Rav said at one point that you probably think that the basic mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is at night, and it's just repeated in the morning. But the real chiyuv is in the daytime, not the night.
Night time. Correct. Yeah, Purim is really by day, not by
day.
Night.
Not by night.
So it would be very interesting, according to this Havamin in the Gemara, that you'd be learning the Torah Shemal Peh of Megillas Esther during the day. That would be the Ikar HaMitzvah. It would be that the reading of the Megillah as Torah Shemal Chsav would be almost secondary, almost like a preparation to Torah Shemal Peh. And it, to a certain extent, that's always true about the relationship between Torah Shemal Chsav and Torah Shemal Peh. The Torah Shemal Chsav is just the first stage that projects you onto the Torah Shemal Peh. Let's look at the first Mishnah in Torah Shemal Peh as far as Megillas Esther is concerned. And the Mishnah establishes that when the Megillah describes Yimei Purim in the plural, it's referring to the possibility of five different candidate dates for Kriyas HaMegillah: Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet Tesvav. And these 5 days represent different situations. Like, for example, the Bnei HaKfarim, they only come in on Mondays and Thursdays, so they'll only be able to hear the Megillah on those days. So they establish these 5 days to accommodate everyone. Yudalit, of course, for the Prozim outside of Shushan, and Tesvav for the Arim Mukafas Choma Mimos Yoshua Ben Nun. So we have 5 days. And then the Mishnah goes out of its way to say Lo Pachos Velo Yoser.
Excuse me, one second. I just want to ask a question.
Yeah, please.
It came up. Last night we were talking, I guess, about Yemei HaProzim, etc. When is the Megillah read on tomorrow? And in which places? So we know there's an issue about Tveria, right?
Right, whether or not it was...
So is it true that it is read that in places like Yafo, Lud, Hebron, Be'er Sheva? We had that written down in places, which is fairly...
I think what they do in those places, if I'm not mistaken, the minhag is that you read it with a bracha on your dalet, and then again, you read on Tesvav without a bracha.
Without a bracha. But because they do, read it twice.
On 2 days.
You know, my impression was it was only Yushalayim, but
Yushalayim has only 1 day of Purim, that's for sure.
Right.
That's a vaday, but the other cities have a suffix, and therefore you read it on both days.
Interesting. And then, of course, you have to fulfill the other mitzvahs of Purim.
Right.
Twice.
Right. Now, the Mishnah again goes out of its way to say, Lo pachos velo yoser. And we're trying to understand what that means. Rashi says, Pa'amim bazeh, u'pa'amim bazeh. As if to say that sometimes you read on this day, sometimes on that day, but it really doesn't justify the words lo pachos v'lo yoser. Maybe Rashi's just saying pa'amim bazeh, u'pa'amim bazeh, just to clarify and elucidate the Mishnah that these are the 5 possible candidate days. But there's no emphasis here in Rashi on lo pachos v'lo yoser. So we want to study today the Vilna Gaon. Now this Vilna Gaon requires, let's say, reading one, you know, when it comes to the Gaon, because everything that we know from the Gaon is all transmitted, we have very little from the Gaon. I mean, obviously he wrote a lot, but much of his insights are transmitted by his students. So there are various statements and books and versions of what exactly he says. So sometimes, you know, to get the whole picture, you want to look at more than one particular version of the Gaon. But let's start with this version, which you'll see here in number 8. And he says the following: V'efshar. Now, in order to appreciate this V'efshar, what you might want to do is fast forward to page 2 and number 14, which is on the top right. And this is the Gemara Pesachim, which also appears in Masechta Kiddushin. And it touches on the fact that we have what's called the Shem HaMiyuchad, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then we read it in a different way. We don't pronounce the word the way it's written, but rather we pronounce it in a different kriya, and that kriya is called Adnus, right? Ado, and then Anoi. So the Gemara here, if you take a look five lines down from the top, in the name of Nachman, Bar Yitzchok, it says that there's a difference between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. And I think here, Olam HaBa doesn't mean the world to come, as we usually mean, but it means the end of time after Mashiach comes. And he says the following, that what's the difference between now and later? It's Nichtav, it's written Yud Ke Vav Ke, but it's Nikra Bi Aleph Dalet. So right now, the best we can do with regard to the Shema Miyuchad is to read it as Adnus. Avol Yolam Abba, but at the end of time, is Kulam Kulo Echad. Nikra Bi Yud Ke V'Nichtav Bi Yud Ke. There won't be any breakage, if you will, any bifurcation, splitting, as it were, the kriya from the ksiva, but just the same way that it's written is the way we're going to pronounce it. And the Gemara says that to bring a support to this statement of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, we'll take a look at a pasuk that says Zeshmi li olam, v'zeh zichri l'dar v'dar. If you look at that pasuk, when Hashem is talking about His name with a capital H, capital N, He used the word li'olam without a vav, which is called chaser. And he explains that zeh zichri, it's something that we should be remembering. In other words, perhaps we're not going to be able to say it now, but we're going to remember it, and we're going to know that ultimately we'll be able to recite that name. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo kshani nichtav ani nikra, nichtav ani biyud kei, v'nikra ani bi'alef dal. So Rashi says, li olam ksiv, it says, zeshmi li olam, chaser vav. And why the deliberate omission of the vav? Lashon ha'alama. So in other words, you take the word li olam, which means forever, and you read it as if the shoresh of the word was ayin lamin mem. And that's because the vav is missing. And ayin lamed mem means something that's concealed. Ha'alama. And what's being concealed now? The name of Hashem. Which name of Hashem? That's the name that's written, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem HaMiyuchad. So right now, in this period of time, until we get to the end of days, it's Ba'alama. And Ba'alama means that we cover over, so to speak, we conceal the name by not pronouncing it. So let's go back to the Vilna Gaon again on page 1. And he says, Isa b'gemara lokshani nichtav ani nikra, nichtav ani b'yudkei, v'nikra ani b'alef dalet. That's the Gemara that we saw. And the Gaon attaches the following comment. He says, Uli olam haba nikra behavaya. We'll be reading it as it's written. V'chein lo'asid lavo im yirtzeh Hashem. No, it's even before we get to Olam HaBa, at the end of days. Achar mitu kadinim. Okay, he introduces here a phrase which comes from the world of mysticism. There's something called dinim, which is the strict, harsh judgment and punishment of the midas hadin, and that's going to come to its fruition when we get to Mashiach liyosid lavo, and then there won't be any mitu kadinim. Now Yud Kei Vav Kei can reign supreme. And we could read it exactly the way it's written. And that's indicated in the pasuk in Yeshayahu and Novi. He says, V'hoye b'yom ahu yi Hashem echad u'shmo echad. That on that day, Hashem echad u'shmo echad, meaning the exact same way it's written is the way it's going to be recited, it's going to be read. So there's no discrepancy between the ksiva and the kriya. V'nimtza now, he says, in our period of time, havaya b'seiser. The name of Hashem, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is in secret. It's concealed. But Adnus is Begili, that's revealed. And that's the name of God that we're going to recite. And when we speak about Hester, we speak about the Heichal. You remember, of course, that the Kohen Gadol goes into the Heichal and then ultimately into the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom Kippur. That's a very private place. And because God is now, in a sense, hiding, and that's called Hester, so we can't pronounce the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, but whatever we have Begilut. And that's Adus. The Adus is Begius. So again, we're going to have to figure this all out. That's our job for today. To figure out why Yudke Vavke is Hester and it cannot be revealed in our time, only in the future, but yet Adus is something that's accessible and that's revealed even in our time. And he says that Yudke Vavke is Behechal Kodesh. The Pasuk in Tilim says that name of God, which is the Shem HaMiyuchad, is Behechal Kodesh, meaning it's now concealed. It's like what we would say, Lifnai V'Lifnim. You know what I mean? It's in the inner chambers. And the God points out that if you look at the word Heichal, and you calculate, it's very easy to calculate the Gematria, because the Chaf Lamed is always 60, right? Because Chaf is 20 and Lamed is 30. I'm sorry, Chaf Lamed is always 50, I meant to say. But when you add the Yud, you jack it up to 60, and then you add the He to 65, that's Adnus. And it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. Okay, so what we do have is the revelation of God that's Adnus. But the real name of God is Behechal Kodesh. That's already Havaya, which is 26. So he wants to suggest now that the word Megillah, which is of course not only the name of the scroll, but it's also the opening word of the Mishnah of Torah Sheval Peh. So if you take the three letters in the middle of the word Megillah, you have whittled down, you've isolated the shorish of the word, and the word is Gilui, which means revealed. So it means that if you had to choose the two names of Hashem, Yudke Vavke or Adnus, which one of the two names would be relevant to Megillas Esther? Because again, Megillas Esther is that Gilui that we still have today, that little bit of divinity that we're able to somehow see or perceive in our world that clouds Hashem. So what would you say, John? If you had to choose between Adnus and Yudke Vavke, which would be more appropriate if you're talking about that which is Megula, Megili Miloshin Megula, Gilui?
It would be a Lashon Adnus.
Correct, it would only be the Lashon Adnus. So basically, we could summarize the Gaon's thesis in the following short sentence. The name Yudke Vavke will only be revealed Liosid Lavo, and Megillah is Adnus. We're not ready for Yudke Vavke. How does he see this in the Mishnah? This is really cool. The Mishnah says that there are 5 days which you can read the Megillah. Right, that's the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. So let's get out our calculators. And he says the following. If you take 11 and you add it to 12, is 12 and 11 is 23. So we're up to 23. Now we're up to the third date. That's Shlosha, so that's number 13. So let's add 23 and 13. Is how much? 23 and 13? Let's see. 36. What?
36.
It's 36.
It's here. I'm not telling them that. I just said.
Oh, so let's write it out. Let's not trust anybody here, okay?
It is 30.
So what we had 23, and now we're adding 13, is 36. Okay, now we have to add 14. Okay, plus 14 is going to be 50. Am I right?
Right.
Okay, now we're going to add 15 for the last day, and we're up to 65. And 65 always means Adnus, because Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, right? Because the Yud is 50, I'm sorry, the Nun is 50 and the Yud is 10, is 60, plus Aleph, Dalet is 5, is therefore 65. So now we see that since we're up to that part of God, of divinity that reveals itself in this time period, when God is Behelem and Yudke Vevke is inaccessible, the only thing we can hope for is the number 65, which means Adnus, because that Adnus is the Gilui that we have in our time. So our Megillah, which is Miloshen Gilui, is a revelation of that, shall we say, smaller piece of divinity, if we can use that term, which is called Adnus, which is accessible even in our time, and that's the number 65. So the five candidate dates for the reading of the Megillah calculate up to 65 to refer to allude to Adnus. now the Gaon wants to take a shot at Lo Pachos Velo Yoser. And he says, She'ein Nikra B'Pachos, which means he can't read it less than 65. In other words, you would really be tempted to cut down the number from 65 to a smaller number which, instead of the larger number that represents Adnus, you want to get to Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now let's just make a quick calculation. How much is Yud Kei Vav Kei? Right, that's 15, that's 26, correct? 26 is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Sfaradim, you know, instead of saying Chai when they give a donation, they give 26 because that's Yud Kei Vav Kei, the holy name of Hashem. So if we only had the power to reveal that which is concealed, namely Yud Kei Vav Kei, then we would have stopped at a much lower number, 26. Insofar as 26 represents Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's Lo Pachos. But then Lo Yoser means not more than Adnus, because we want to get 65, which is that part of divinity that's revealed. And now he wants to push this pshat into Rashi. He says, "Zeh mashomer Rashi pa'amim bazeh," that during certain periods of time it's bazeh, and pa'amim bazeh in another period of time it's a different way. Pa'amim bazeh means now that we're in Golus before Mashiach comes, then it is bazeh. It's these five numbers which calculate to Adnus, to Ado, and then Anoi. Upa'amim bazeh, but other times in history we're going to get to 26. And it's going to be a different number. Asher achra geula b'avaya. That's an interesting addition to his whole structure here. The shalach
kadosh. Difficult to see in Rashi, but okay.
Right. Yes. The shalach kadosh, who lived, you know, pretty much in the same period of time as the Gaon, he also played this mathematical game of adding together Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tesvav. And Hachesh ben Ola, Kiminyan Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, because 65 is a very important number, and it always triggers off the name of Hashem of Adnus. But then he has a different take on V'Omar, what the Mishnah says, Lo Pachos V'Lo Yosef. He says, Rak HaMinyan HaMuot. He says it shouldn't be less than the lowest number, Dahayinu Yud Aleph. And he says, Kiminyan Osios Vav Hei Min Hashem. So I'm not sure exactly how he calculates this, but he ends up with the number 11. Ah, I see. Yeah, because he's starting with Yud Aleph, which is the lowest of the numbers. So when he says Lo Pachos, it means the lowest number, which is 11. Famiyin Amarube, which is Tesvav, and it shouldn't be Yoser, which means the highest number, which would be 15, because if you add 11 to 15, you get Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the Mishnah is telling me, no, you can't take the lowest number and add it to the highest number and get Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because at this point in time, the name of Hashem is incomplete. And that's really what the Gemara says over here that we saw before in Psachim, that the crown, or I should say the throne of Hashem up in Shemayim is Kes, it's not Kisei, the Aleph is missing. And the name of Hashem is Ka, which is Yud Kei, but we're missing the other two letters of Hashem's name. Now why is it that Hashem's name is not complete? And the answer is that this Ka, this Yud Kei, is in the Parsha of Amalek. So we take a look at Parshas Bishalach. It says there that Ki Yod Al Kes, and then it said Yud He. So we really don't have the name of Hashem in its full blown. Therefore, we can't pronounce it. It's only Yud K. And who created that incomplete name of Hashem? Kaviyochol. That was Amalek. Asher Hifrid Beinam. Amalek takes the name Yud K and then the Vav K, and he wedges in between them, splitting them into two. We're left with Yud K, and therefore we would have liked to have taken the lowest number, which is Pachos, and that would be Yud Aleph, and added to the highest number, Yoser, which is Tesvav, and produce the name of Hashem. But the Mishnah says, Lo Pachos, Velo Yoser. You cannot take the lowest number, and you can't take the highest number, because right now we don't have access to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now take a look at another variation or version, if you will, of the Gaon, which you'll see in number 10. And you'll find on line 3, it says, Lo pachos lo yoser, hainu pachos mi yud alef shu yud, vi yoser mi tesvav shu tes zayin. He has a different version of the Gaon. In this version, the Gaon is saying, Lo pachos lo yoser, means you can't dip below Yud Aleph or above Tesvav, and that means a below Yud Aleph would be Yud, which would be the number 10, and above Yud Tesvav would be number Tezayin, which is number 16. Now if you add 10 to 16, you get 26, which is the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when it says Lo Pachos Vol Yoser, it's basically telling us that there's no Yud Kei Vav Kei. We have to exclude there's no access here to Yud Kei Vav Kei. The only access we could have is to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And getting back again to the Sefer Yemei HaPurim that we spoke about before, because we're going to see different pieces spliced in together here. This is Rabbi Gladstein, you know, puts together these Mar Makomas. You can get it online. It's excellent. So every time I get a chance, but I don't have the time for it, but it's like to study it's like a study unit. So again, you don't know what his Shia was like, but you can at least learn his Makoros. And he has access to a tremendous amount of Sfarim that you and I never heard of even. In any event, getting back to the Gaon, according to this version of the Gaon, which is in number 11, the Gaon based himself on a Medrash of Esther Rabbah, which you'll see on the bottom of your page, number 12. A very, very famous statement of the Medrash. Kol Makom Shenemar B'Megillah Zo LaMelech HaChashverosh. Sometimes it says, not just Melech, but it says Melech HaChashverosh. Is then b'melech ha-chashverosh ha-kosav medaber. But kol mokum shenemar la-melech stam, if the Torah didn't qualify who is the melech, it's meshamish kodesh v'chol. That's referring to the malko shel olam, the melech malkei ha-melochim. And the Gaon wants to build on this, and he says, after quoting the Medrash, kol mokum shenemar ha-melech stam, b'megilas Esther kavonu la-melech malkei ha-melochim ha-kodesh baruch hu. In other words, unless the Megillah went out of its way to add the word Achashverosh, then the word Amelech, stam means unqualified, is a reference, an allusion to the Melech Malchei Amlochim. Hare Hanhogas Amalchu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hi B'Shem Adnus. How does God relate to this world? What is the manifestation of His sovereign rulership as the divine, all-powerful King of the universe? It's the Shem Adus. Adus means that God is manhig the entire world, because the entire world is His Malchus. So that's the Adus here, because what we said before is that according to the Gaon, the low pachos for low yoser in the Mishnah is coming to exclude the revealed Yud Kei Vav Kei, because we don't have the revealed Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what we end up with is the revealed Adnus. And why is that specifically related to the Megillah? And the answer is because the Megillah has Hashem's name Behelim. And whenever the word Melech or HaMelech appears in the Megillah without qualification, though there's no additional Achashverosh in, and then it's a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Melech Malkei HaMelochim. So you see that the Megillah conceals God's identity, so to speak. What do I mean it conceals His identity? Hashem's name doesn't appear in the Megillah, not once. But according to Medrash and Esther Rabbah, the word HaMelech refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
That's Behelim.
But it's Behelim because, you know, it doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Meshamish Kodesh V'chol. You can read it as Melech, as a human king, because ein mikra yotzim lepshuto, and that's what the Megillah is indicating. But on a deeper, more profound level, below the surface, that word Hamelech is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Melech Malchei HaMelech. But he's in hiding, and you could already begin to guess, even before we go on, that if we're talking about Hashem being hidden, and that's why Adnus is appropriate for the Megillah, it means that you don't find in this miracle God, in an overt way, in an obvious way, and entering in, jumping in, and changing history, and the miracle is all hidden. It's one large hidden miracle in which all the pieces of the puzzle and all the episodes in their sequence fit into place, until finally we have the Yeshua based on all that. So it's all nistar, behelen. And therefore it's very appropriate, says the Gaon, that the name of Hashem that exists in Golos is related to the Megillah. And that's Adnos, and that's the 65. We cannot have access at this point, especially in the context of the Megillah, of Hashem of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the revealed Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not Shach. We don't have the revealed Yud Kei Vav Kei at this point. Now, just to give one example where Chazal, according to the Medrash that we saw, view HaMelech as a concealment of Hashem, the Pasuk says, "B'yom Hashvi b'tov, tov lev HaMelech b'yayin." Now notice, it doesn't say HaMelech HaChashverosh. So according to the Medrash, this gives us license to assume or to postulate as a possibility that it's referring to Melech Malchei HaMelechim. So what does it mean, Kitov Lev HaMelech Bayayin? What would be the deeper meaning below the surface? So he quotes a Medrash, and the Medrash says, the name of Yochanan, Kitov Libo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu B'yena Shal Torah. That this is a hint to Yayin, not Yayin as a reference to physical material wine, whether you like dry wine, Moscato wine, whatever you like, but rather on a deeper level, it's a reference to Yena Shel Torah. And Yena Shel Torah are the deep insights of the Torah. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes, and when we actually study the Torah, that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu a tremendous amount of Tov Lev. And Hashem becomes a Tov Lev because of the Yena Shel Torah. I would also suggest that Yena Shel Torah might be a reference to Chidushin, meaning it's not just enough to learn the Torah, but to be Mechadish the Torah. That's the sweet wine of the Torah. And Hashem has a tremendous amount of Simcha, Tov Lev, because of our Torah. Again, all this is only possible in the light of the Medrash that HaMelech is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch. I was thinking on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we start Shachris, the Shatz begins with HaMelech. And I think that would be very appropriate to do that on Purim. I heard that in some places they have a shtick and they sing HaMelech, because Purim Kippur. But it really makes sense because HaMelech means the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, and that's throughout the Megillah, the concealed identity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now again, we mentioned the Gaon, and now we want to look at the Gaon on Esther. And the Pasuk says in Esther that something is going on here, right? Every point in the Megillah's Esther is another piece of the episode as it develops. So the Gaon quotes the Pasuk Zeshmi v'zeh Zichri, which is in the Parsha of Amalek, and he says V'omru lo kamo shani nichtav ani nikra. We saw the Gemara Pesachim on this Pasuk Zeshmi v'zeh Zichri says that we don't read it and recite it the way it was written. Nichtav b'yud kei v'nikro b'yalef dal v'hainu, says the Gaon, b'pnei sheshem havaya baruch hu mora al atzmuso yisbarach. Whoa, this is already way beyond our comprehension. He says that that there's the essence of God, and then there's the way that God personifies and the way we perceive God. The essence of God is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Whereas Adnus is a reference to Malchus Vashem. How would you translate Malchus? How would you translate Malchus? Malchus means the master of the universe. Just like the king is the master over all his subjects, they are all his servants, and they have to oblige his mandates, his commands, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the commander-in-chief, the Adon Kol Haaretz of the entire universe. And that's called Malchus. Malchus means that God mandates and controls everything. But that's just the way God relates to the universe. That doesn't say anything about God himself. Klape Atzmo, his Atzmuso. That's already Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So the Adnus, which is God as the Adon Kol Haaretz, the master and the king of the universe, that's the way we perceive him down here. That's Adnus. But the Atzmuso Yisbarach, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the name Havaya. So therefore we cannot recite or pronounce the name of God's Atzmus. We're not in that state of being now, we're in Golus. But what we can do is we can speak about God's Malchus, his control, and we can accept upon ourselves God as the sovereign ruler and we are his servants. That's called Nikra B'Yado. And then annoy at the end. Because we're going to read God's name as Adnus, because he is the Adon Kol. We accept upon ourselves servitude to Hashem. And he is the Melech. And that's something that we can see even today. God as the Melech. But we're not going to call the Shema Etzem. We're going to leave out the Shema Etzem, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, because we're not capable of perceiving God Ba'atzmusa. Now, I'd like to study with you the Maral Prague, which is on the bottom right, in a sefer called Or Chadash. That sefer is all about Hanukkah and Purim. And as you know, the Maral, who lived 5 centuries ago, was very much into Kabbalah, into the secrets of the Torah. But as opposed to other Kabbalists and their writings, his approach and his writings are more accessible to us. He was a great darshan, and he saw things in psukim that you and I would never think, never see. I don't know why Rav Soloveitchik never quoted the Maral Prague, but he says the following, that the nisim and the niflos of Purim, which are shelo b'derech hateva, which couldn't have happened without God's intervention, Shalokim in Hagu Shal Olam, he says the following, that at the end of days, we're going to be witnessing miracles that are clearly Shalom Bader Chateva. The miracles will be openly and apparently God's intervention, marvelous supernatural events. And that he calls Shalokim in Hagu Shal Olam, that defies the natural order of the universe. And then at that point, when there will be clear-cut miracles that indicate God as the Manig Shel Olam, then we will have access to the Shema Miyuchad B'dal Osios, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But right now it's only Nikra B'Shem Adnus, and we don't read it the way it's written. And he says that now we live in a period of time where on the surface of it, when you look at events, it's Kiminhagu Shalola. It's Teva. Everything seems to be working according to Teva. And therefore the appropriate name of Hashem for this period of time is Adnus. Because the God's essential personality, so to speak, or character as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is completely concealed. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei means that God's entity or his rulership is absolutely crystal clear. to such an extent that it'll be Nisim Shelo B'Derech HaTeva. And therefore, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Adon Kol Ha'aretz, or Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz, or Hashem Adonenu Ma Adir Shimcha B'Kol Ha'aretz. In all these cases, it's the Shem Adnus. Why? Because Hashem is the Adon Kol Ha'aretz. He's leading the world, controlling the world, but all B'Derech HaTeva. He doesn't do it in any sort of open, miraculous, spectacular way that you can see, wow, look at those nisim, look at those changes in nature. God is wreaking havoc with the laws of nature. We don't have that. What we have is Adnus. And that's the Maniges HaTeva B'Derech HaTeva. Kilo Nase Nes Nigla. And if we think about the entire episode, step by step, of the Yeshua of Purim of Esther, it's all Nes Nistar. It's all the Helen. There's no Nes Nigla. There's no way you can point and say, look what happened. There's something metaphysical, something marvelous, something spectacular that undermines nature. We can't say that. Rakakol Haya Behadhagas Ha'olam on the top left. It was all within the cause and effect framework of nature. And therefore he says, Lo Nizkar Shema Miyuchad B'Megillah Azos. You won't find the name Yud Kei Vav Kei once in the entire Megillah, because Yud Kei Vav Kei means God revealing Himself in a miraculous way, in an obvious way, and that we don't have. There's nothing revealed; everything is concealed. Therefore, the Shema Miyuchad is omitted from the Megillah entirely. And then he goes on and he says, Me'achar Shehoya Hakol B'Teva, since all the events in the Megillah take place within nature, cause and effect, v'lo nira Paul Hashem Yisparach b'nigla, we can't see in an open way God's intervention, l'kach lo nichtav Hashem b'nigla b'megila. He says that since the entire sequence of events in the Megillah, the whole episode, is the Derech HaTeva, we don't see God's intervention. It's not obvious to us. It's not Begili. It's everything's Behelim. And therefore, the Megillah omitted the name of Hashem. Lo nichtav Hashem b'nigla sheba Megillah. In other words, why is God's name in a concealed way in the Megillah? In other words, HaMelech is a reference, according to the Medrash, to Melech Malchei HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is because this Megillah is going to reflect exactly the nature of the period of time and the miracles that took place. Those were miracles benigla. I'm sorry. Those were miracles benistar, because everything was going well al derech hateva. And therefore, the Yud Kei Vav Kei has to be concealed, because the Yud Kei Vav Kei is Hashem Begilui. Hashem with marvelous and spectacular changes in the laws of nature. That we don't have right now. Everything that happens in the Megillah is B'Derech HaTeva. And therefore, it doesn't look like Hashem is available. So if we're gonna mention Hashem's name, then we're giving away, you know, we're giving away the whole story here, because the whole story is built around the fact that this is built into nature and it's cause and effect. So the word HaMelech is a secret name of Hashem that's not apparent, it's concealed, and that is a reference that corresponds to the nature of the miracles here and the Yeshua of Purim, which are all Bahalama. They're all below the surface. They're not revealed, they're concealed. And God's name is likewise concealed. It's a beautiful insight. Because it always bothered me. You know, I knew this Chazal, I heard it a million times, that whenever it says HaMelech, it's a reference to Hashem. But why write it that way? Why not just mention the name of God? But the answer is, because that's what we're really trying to do. We are trying to get to the point where Hashem reveals Himself. And that's going to be the Yud Kei Vav Kei at the time of Mashiach. But now, it's all B'Nistar. And that corresponds, that parallels the fact that Hashem's name is B'Nistar, Melech, or HaMelech. And there's another version of the Gaon based on the Gemara in Shabbos, which is on the left column, you'll see that the Gemara says that there's something called Ir Elokeinu, and that refers to the, I think if I remember correctly, we'll get a Gemara Shabbos if we can. It refers to the, oh, I think you have one here. If you can get Kuf Mem Hey, I think it refers to the Yushalayim Shalmala. You know, there's the Yushalayim Shalmala and the Yushalayim Shalmata. And in Yushalayim Shalmala, that's the makom of Ikar Esgalus Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. That's where God reveals Himself. That's called Ir Elokeinu, the city of God. And there, in that place, you can recite the name of Hashem as it's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei, because it's Esgalus, it's a revelation of God. Our below Masa, but with that, but down here on the earth, if we're not up there in the holy spheres above, then Mislamesh Bilavush Hateva, the Gon says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear in the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, but rather he's clothed or hidden, if you will, behind the name Adnus. You're not seeing it. All right. So you know what? I don't think we should spend too much time on it. Leave it here. Maybe later on we'll get you. All right. What I wanted to look at is the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perikei. Because if we're talking about Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem HaMiyuchad as opposed to Adnus, how far apart, so to speak, are these two names? Because in Hilchos Shemos, we have basically Shem HaMiyuchad on one, shall I say, on one side of the scale, and all the other names on the other side of the scale. Where's Adnus fit? And the Rambam in Hilchos Akum addresses this issue with regard to the parasha Megadeth, because Megadeth is only Chayav Misa if he enunciates the holy name of God. And the question is, what if he enunciates the name Adnus? In the perfect violation of Megadeth, he would be cursing God with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. But that's not what he did. He cursed God, Kaviyachal, with the name Adnus. So the Rambam has one opinion, and he quotes a different opinion. In the Rambam's opinion, a Megadeth is chayv not just for mentioning, uttering the Shem HaMiyuchad, that's the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but even if he recites Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that's also, if he curses God with that name, that's also considered Mekalel B'Shem. But at the end of this paragraph, he says, V'yesh Misha Mefaresh, he quotes an unidentified anonymous opinion, She'eno Chayev, that the Megadeth is not Chayev for cursing God, Ella Al Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, unless he curses the holiest name of God. And if he curses Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that's not going to be sufficient according to this Yesh Misha Pirish. But Vani Omer, says the Rambam, my opinion is Al Shneim Hu Niskal. That, well, we know that the Chiyuv from Megadeth is Skila, and now the Rambam says it doesn't matter whether or not he's Megadeth with the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, or even with the Shem Adnus, that's enough to incur a Chiyuv Megadeth. So let's take a look at the explanation of the Brisker Rav for this Machlokes regarding the name Adnus in the context of Megadeth. And he says the following, that L'chora, the Yesh Misha Mefarish is correct, because the concept of Shem HaMiyuchad means just what it is. Shem HaMiyuchad, there's only one. It's a unique name. How can you give him Skila for Adnus? Adnus is maybe a nice substitute, but it's not the name itself. And therefore the Brisker Rav says the following to explain the Rambam. And that's in the second paragraph of Adnira Lomar Buzet. That based on the Gemara that we saw before in Psachim, which is also in Kiddushin, the same sugya, that the Gemara says that we cannot read or pronounce the name of Hashem the way it's written in the case of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Says the Brisker Rav on the fourth line, Nemar Bazed Dina. Now let me explain to you what I think he means by Nemar Bazed Dina. Dina, with an aleph at the end, means a brand new halacha that operates within the universe of the conceptual and abstract laws. It's a legal category, a legal regulation. In other words, if something happens magical, like in the Derech Shirim, we were speaking about the Chaf HaDimyon, that sometimes the Torah says that you can do something magical, like Amirasol the Gavoa can Mesirasol the Hedge. Where's the Mesira? Where's the Maisa Kinyan? No, in Hegdish it's a whole new magic that you say the words and the Kinyan of Hegdish is Chal. That's called Dina. Dina means it's not, you know, something that you can anticipate. It's not a psychological principle that you can justify as far as legal principles are concerned. No, it's a Dina. And the Brisker Rav wants to say that if you look at this Gemara about Zeh Shmi, Zeh Zichri, meaning the name of Hashem is the way it's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the way we pronounce it is Zichri, is Adnus. He says, according to the Rambam, a new halach is formulated here. The Kriya Shal Adnus, He Gam Kriya Shal Hashem Shal Avaya. Unbelievable. He's taking the Chaf HaDinyan here literally, and he's saying that when you pronounce the name Adnus, you are really saying the name Havaya. Now, how could that be? I didn't hear Havaya, I heard Adnus. But the answer is, this is a Dina. Dina means, this is the magical, you know, the mechanics of halach, of Jewish law, that since we know exactly what you're reading, we know that you're not saying, you're not pronouncing it Yud Kei Vav Kei, because you're not allowed to do that, so you pronounce it Adnus, but we know very well up front that the Adnus is a replacement for Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because Zeh Zichri means that it's only B'Zecher. Right? What's the Pasuk? Is Zeh Shmi Li'olam, right? Not Li'olam B'Loshen Alama. So if you have to be malid the shame by pronouncing it as Adnus, but that pronunciation is a reference to the name of Hashem, the Shem HaMiyuchad. So if he did, it's as if you had recited the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem HaMiyuchad. If Kein Af Al Gav the Etzem Hashem Shal Adnus Lav Shem Miyuchad Hu, because Shem Miyuchad means it can only be one such name, and that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Adnus is admittedly some sort of secondary or replacement for Yud Kei Vav Kei in this context. Aval Al Kolpim Harezeh, when he curses with the name Adnus, is Shepiresh L'Shem Adnus Mikri Shepiresh Gam L'Shem HaMiyuchad. He said, Pirish means the way he enunciated it. And it's when he enunciates the name Adnus, it's considered, Mikri Al-Pidin, it's considered as if he enunciated the Shem HaMiyuchad. And why? Because Zui Kriyoso. That's the only way you're allowed to read that name. So that reading now becomes a substitute for reading it as it's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Therefore, chayav b'magadif. The Rambam says the magadif is chayav. Why? Because the Torah says v'nokev shem Hashem. And what does it mean v'nokev shem Hashem? He enunciates the name of God. The name of God as it's written, even though he's not enunciating as it's written, but that kriya is a substitute for the original kriya of the ksav as it's written, and that's called v'nokev b'shem Hashem. The kachhi. Nikivaso shel shem le'inyan kriya. As far as kriya is concerned, he's considered to be no kevas Hashem. That's the way the pasuk is meant to be read, to be recited, to be read now during this period of time. L'hachi, therefore, the Rambam says you get skila for both, because in both cases he's really being mefarish the shem HaMiyuchad. Even though he said Adnus, I didn't hear the shem HaMiyuchad, but the answer is that since he said Adnus because he had no other choice, and that's the way you read the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's a proper pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and therefore the no cave is going to be chayah for that kriya. Now, at this point, the Brisker Rav, without even asking the question, what does the Yesh Misha Mefarish hold? He comes to answer that question. The Yesh Misha Mefarish says, no, if you're pronouncing the name as Adnus, then you're not Chai. He says the following, there's one Yisod that everybody agrees to. And that is that Adnus is the way we read the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. You can't deny that. That's explicit in Chazal. However, Kol Zeh L'Inyan Birchas Kohanim. If you're talking about Birchas Kohanim and they have to recite a specific parasha, and in that parasha the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei appears, they'll read it as Adnus. And you can find other examples. He says, for example, what about in Tefillah? I'm sorry, what about in Kriyas HaTorah, excuse me? In Kriyas HaTorah, he gets to a pasuk, and lo and behold, it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. No, read it as Adnus. So again, whenever there's a parsha in the Torah, and you don't have the possibility of reciting and pronouncing the holiest name, Hashem HaMiyuchad, then you recite Adnus. And therefore, there's no reason or justification to apply this to Megadev. If you're reading a parsha in the Torah, or psukim in the Torah, then you have license to read the name of Hashem as it is written. But the only problem is you can't read it as it's written, so we're only going to give you license to recite what? Adnus. But when you recite Adnus, that's the way, according to Halacha, you read the word Yud Kei Vav Kei. But that's only because there's a parasha in front of us. Whether you talk about the parasha of Birchas Kohanim, you talk about the parasha that you read on Shabbos and Shul, whatever parasha it is, you can always say that there's Yud Kei Vav Kei in the parasha. I'm going to have to read it as Adnus. And it's as if I recited it as Yud Kei Vav Kei. But I'm not allowed to do that. But in the case of Megadev, what text does he have in front of him? The Megadev is cursing God. Is he reading a parasha in the Torah? So if he's not reading a parasha in the Torah, then what gives you the right to say that when he recites in his cursing, in his blasphemy, he says Yud Kei Vav Kei, I'm sorry, he says Adnus, and we're going to make that into as if he read it Yud Kei Vav Kei? If I start with Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's right here in the Chumash, and then I read it as Adnus, then you could say that my Kriya is related to the Ksiva as if I read it as Yud Kei Vav Kei. But in the case of Megadev, where there's no parasha in front of him, that's why the Yesh Misha Pirish in the Rambam is of the opinion that the Megadev with Yud Kei Vav Kei would be Chayav, but if he's Megadev with Adnus, he's Potter. I, this Halacha, that Adnus is the way you read the word Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it substitutes as if he had said Yud Kei Vav Kei. The answer is that only applies according to the Yesh Misha Mefarish when there's a parsha in the Torah. And if you're reading the Yud Kei Vav Kei as Adnus, so your reading is mitzurf to the Ksiva on the parchment of Yud Kei Vav Kei. But in the case of a Gadol, if you cannot apply that, Al Kain, this is the last four lines if you're following in the text, Svirle di eno chayav b'magadif achi yifarish Hashem Hashem avaya atzmo. If he curses God with the name Adnus, then you're not chayav. But zehu decholei karamam usvirle dekeva dehavi mia kriya is gamle inyan shema miyuchal Al Kain gam b'magadif Havi zeh bichlal mefarish Hashem v'chayev. The Rambam says the following: that even though it's not exactly, you know, the case of Adnus in Megadev is not exactly equivalent; it's not parallel totally to the classical case of reading a parsha in the Torah. But nevertheless, since havia mia kriya, in other words, in Hilchas Kriya, that is the way that you kore the Shem HaMiyuchad, that's enough to generate a chiyuv on the Megadev, because it's like Mefaris Hashem. So the machlokas between the Rambam and the Yesh Misha Piresh now becomes the following. when the Gemara establishes that in our time you read Yud Kei Vav Kei and pronounce it as Admus, what does that mean? Does that mean that Admus is always the Kriya of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Chok V'lo Yav in an absolute way, and every time he says Admus, it's as if he said Yud Kei Vav Kei? Or do we say no? When you have the parasha in front of you, then by reciting it over the word Yud Kei Vav Kei, you recite the word Admus, then there's a relationship at Tziruf to the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then it's as if you had recited Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay. Now it's interesting, there's a pasuk in Tanakh that describes the Yirei Shmo. And the Shemesh, the sun, will rise and shine for the Yirei Shmo, those who are afraid of God's name. And what does that mean, that they're afraid of God's name? She'eino motzi shem shamayim levatol. In other words, this concept of lotisa eshem Hashem lashav becomes a very central concept, that we should have a certain fear and awe of the name of God, and we should never just use it and pronounce it in vain. And the pasuk that's quoted again is Shemesh Staka. And if you take a look at the top, page 3, Shemesh Staka, he says, Nira v'ena yaldef mashkosik ki Shemesh u'magen Hashem aleinu, God is like the sun that protects us. Kimo sha'ar harishon nignaz toch Hashemesh. It means that the or of Hashem, which God put away, sort of, he hid it. It was hidden in the Shemesh. And this is a symbolic representation of Nefesh v'guf, that is both the physical and the purely spiritual. And this all parallels to the names of Havaya and Admus. Havaya is Nignas. It's put away. Just like the Or HaRishon, that unbelievable light, that infinite supernal light of the first creation, the first day of creation, was hidden, was concealed in the Shemesh. And the light that we get from the Shemesh is a totally different light. So to Havaya is a name of God that was Nignas. It was hidden from sight. And then we have the name Admus. And the name Admus means, if the name Havaya is Nignas, how do I read the name Havaya when it's Begniza, when it's concealed, with the name Admus, with Ado and then Noi at the end? Now this Jew comes along and he's very, very careful, very meticulous. He's afraid to mention God's name in vain. And what he does is, he says, I am going to recite God's name as Admus. And in that way I'm going to protect myself from enunciating the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because the pasuk says that where is it? Ki Shemesh Magen Hashem Elokim. That just like the Shemesh, in a sense, hides the name of Hashem from the Or HaRishon, which is Ganus, so too this tzaddik is going to use the name of Admus, but the name, the real name, which is the way it's written, is going to be concealed, and we no longer recite Yud Kei Vav Kei. L'chein gam guf Hashemesh v'nartiko yielo l'marpe v'le'idun li'asid lova. He says that the physical sun, which gives off light and different rays and so forth that could really heal a person who's ill, he says he'll be zocha to this. In other words, this tzaddik who's careful about the names of Hashem will be zocha to this great kind of healing from the Shemesh. And if you take a look at the Afike Yam, which is in number 25, he says, Ki Shemesh u'magen Hashem Elokim haynu sheshmo agol yisbarach lo kishenichtav nikra v'hu avaya b'ksiva v'ado ado, again, noi b'kriyoso shatz muso eino musag. The essence of God, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is not something that we can comprehend. Ki im mitzad pulos, so the only thing we can get close to Hashem, or relatively close to Hashem, is by by being amazed by the actions of God, the creation of God. V'chein Hashemesh, or Harishon Shenivrbo b'yimei Breishis, there was the initial light of Breishis, and God created man with this light. So Harishon, or Harishon Shenivrbo b'yimei Breishis Nignav b'guf Hashemesh. Hameir la'aretz la'darim aleh v'yomel kamon shalosid lavo yotzi chamit artika. The Gemara says that at the end of time, God will take the chama out of its hiding place, and tzaddikim misrapim ba. All the tzaddikim will experience a healing process as a result of the rays of the sun. Shalosid lavo gam shmi yisbrach yeh echad. It'll be the shem ha'miyuchad, and we're going to read it the way it's written, ki mo havaya, via nikra bishmo hamiyucha, v'lachein oz gam or harishon b'shamish ba'olam. So the original R was lost, it was put away, it was concealed. But we'll get it back at the end of time, liyosid lavo. That's the time period in which Hashem will be begilui, and that's going to be the b'china of yudkei vavkei. As we saw in the Maharal Prague, the Yud Kei Vav Kei indicates God stepping in to change nature in a very blatant and apparent way. So the R that's waiting to be revealed, that's now concealed somewhere in the Shemesh, will be revealed with a great healing process for the tzaddikim, because these tzaddikim were very careful about the name of Hashem. And they realize that they can only judge or relate to Hashem mitzad pu'uloso, but not mitzad atzmuso, through Ado and then Anoy, and not through Yudkei Vavkei. At that point, Gam Or Harishon Meshamish Ba'olam. We'll get back the original Or Harishon, which was an amazing, supernal, infinite light. Do you want to give it another few minutes, Sean?
I'm fine.
Okay, great. I don't want to keep you too long.
Well, I have to be here for Mincha.
Mincha, great. Okay, so we'll stay for Mincha. Mircha Shev. Now he says the following. That the Shem Adnus reflects on Midas Hadin, which is called Kiseh. But then there's something called Heichal, and that is a reference to Midas HaRachamim, and that's Yudkei Vavkei. Right now the Midas HaRachamim is concealed, and that's why Havaya is not pronounced in its complete way. And instead we have this Levush, so to speak, this clothing that hides the name of Hashem, which is called Adnus. Alright, now let's see if we can look at this Medrash on number 29, Vani Mashmi, Amalo Lecha Noa Lihikaros Ado, and then Noi, Sha'at Adon Lechol Briosof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Adam HaRishon to give names to all of his creations based on Adam HaRishon's uncanny insight into the nature and the essence of each creation. And therefore Hashem asks him, and what's my name? What would you call God? And he answers, Ado, and then the Noi. Why? Because Ato Adon L'chol Briosof. And later on in Tanakh, we have a Pasuk, Ani Hashem Hu Shmi. And there, it's referring to the name that Adam HaRishon gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Shekar Li Adam HaRishon Ado, and then Noi at the end. Now, to get a little bit of a deeper insight into this law that we're not allowed to read the name of God as such, meaning Yud Kei Vav Kei, and pronounce it that way, he says, Zehu Isur Lahaskir Shem Havaya, and what's the time for that kiksavam, as it's written, Bigvulin, Rak b'migdash. So there was one annunciation of God's name as it is, and that took place once a year in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom HaKippur, when the Kohen Gadol went Lifnai V'Lifnim, Kippur Mikdash Nemar Hashem Yiro, that there Yiro, that God could be seen there. Again, only the Kohen Gadol got to see it. And therefore, Banan Eroel HaKaporos, referring to the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur, Shom Nigla Kvodo Yisparach, and there that Gili of his Kavod, which is something that doesn't exist in any shape or form outside of the Beis HaMikdash, is the Kohen Gadol is allowed to enunciate the shame Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then Kriyaso Kiksivaso. But he says, outside of the Kodesh Kadoshim, is we don't have any Musag, we have no comprehension of God, El Mitzad Adnuso, just because we see him as the Adon, but we don't see his Kavod. So it's only Lifnai V'Lifnim that Nigle Kvodo Yisparach, the Havaya. So therefore in Gvulin, we're only going to be able to pronounce Hashem's name as Adnus. So God operating through the channels of nature is Adnus. And that's Behelem, that's Benistar. When God breaks the laws of nature in an obvious oblique way, that's already Yud Kei Vav Kei. But that's designated for the future. Now, when we say Al Anisim, we open up with the words Bimei Mordechai. And then we go on to say Ksha'oman Aleim Haman. And most of the Jewish people are already reciting this. They've said it over and over again. In Yerushalayim, Shushan Purim, it'll take another day. But he says the following. That Sha'amad Aleim Haman. And then it says, Vashevoso Lois Gmulo Al Rosho. And he says that if you count up the letters, there has to be a magic number of letters here. He says, Nun Dalid Tevos. Can I get Nun Dalid Haman Akosubu Megillah? Vin Nun Dalid Osio Shabaseris Bnei Haman. Wow, how do you begin to count all these numbers? It's mind boggling. He's saying that if you take the 10 names of Aseres B'nei Haman, you count them up, how many letters there are, it's going to be Nun Dalet. Nun Dalet Osios, 54. If you count the number of times that Haman appears in the Megillah, guess what? It'll be number 54. And if you count the number of words from the beginning of Sha'aman Aleim Haman until Vashevosalos Gvul Al Rosho, they all include and calculate 54 words. Now, let's take a look at one of the Talmidim of the mystical approach at the time of the Arizal, the Magala Mukos, Reb Shimshon Shapiro, and he writes in the name of the Ari, Sheyesh Dalid Nun Pa'omim Haman v'Megillah, that if you count up how many times Haman appears in the Megillah, it's 54, which is Dalid Nun. And he says, "Kineged Dan Pa'omim Mordechai v'Esther." If you count how many times Mordechai and Esther appear, it's again the number 64. V'chein Shuros HaMegillah Shei Ariach Al Gabi Ariach Dahainu Shemos Aseres B'nei Haman Levadam Yeshba Dalid Nun Osios. Again, he gives you a shortcut how to calculate how many letters there are in the Aseres B'nei Haman, and the number that you'll arrive at is 54. V'chein b'parashas Zohar, u'parashas Vayom HaMolek, there are again 64 words, and that's the same number of words in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema up until Bisharecha. Sha'avu Yisrael al Achdus. There's the reason why Haman's name appears 64. Which parallels the number of words in Shema Yisrael, is because we apparently violated that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the Achdus of Hashem. Now it's interesting because if you look at the two letters that make up 54, that's Nun Dalid, those are two out of the four letters of the name Ado, right? Nun. So it's interesting. Nun Dalet Pa'om Shem Megillah. who sowed at Ado and then not. So I'm not sure if he's referring to the Midas HaDin, and the Midas HaDin expressed itself in the 54 times that Haman's name appears in Megillah, and we said that the real need of compassion of Rachamim is the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we're not ready for that now. So all we have is the Adnus, and the Adnus reflects God's Midas HaDin. And he writes, Gabi Avram Itmar, it says, Gamas HaGoy Asher Ya'avodu Don Anochi Sher Ramaz Al Inyan Haman Shenizkar 54 times V'ini Koso Mikoach Don. In other words, who is this nation that's going to oppress and enslave the Jewish people, as Avram is promised in the Bris Ben Hashem, Gamas HaGoy Asher Ya'avodu? It's going to be the forerunners of Dalet Nun, Don Anochi, which means the Koach of Dan. And how is this Koach of these evildoers, these adversaries, going to be obliterated by and neutralized by Hashem? It's through the name Ado and then Noi, because Ado Noi is going to be Milosh and Don. And he says, I will be Yitzchak Shumidas Adin She Somach Haman Al Kocho Shalo Lo Zohar Oso. And the Yaakov Zochos over Pasuk Miyad Achi Miyad Esav Beis Piyomim Miyad Bigamatria Dalet Nun. So in other words, if you take the Mem, which is 40, and the Yud, which is 10, you're up to 50, and then you have 4, the Dalet at the end of Miyad, that's equivalent to 54. And it's Beis Piyomim, because Yaakovina says, Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav, Echad Keneged Yitzchak, Echad Keneged Yaakov, because Yitzchak was omitted, because his very Mida was the Midas HaDin, and therefore Yaakov, in a sense, replaces the Don of the 54 that was missing in the case of Yitzchak. Now take a look at the Yalkut Reuveni. And he says, Arba Osios, the four letters that make up Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Shtayim, Din, two of them are the Dalet, Nun, Ushtayim, Rachamim. But even Midas HaDin there has to be an admixture, an addition somehow of Midas HaRachamim. And that's the Aleph, Yud. The Aleph at the beginning of the word, and the Yud at the end of the word. Lekachom or Moshe Shlachna, the Yad, which means Osios Din, right? We said that the Yad is equivalent to Din. Is he Kansu Ben Shtei Osios Aleph Yud Lemateh Kadin? So we have to add the Aleph Yud in order to sweeten, so to speak, the harsh judgment. Zeu shlach na biyad tishlach. Ki kshehoyu b'mitzrayim gilsa imoyim shem ashkina, shehu shem adnus, v'hoyu ha-osios bepirud, omer Moshe chaber na osios yud v'yachaber min lemino. I can't read the next part, I don't know, what does it say? Nun v'riya Leos Don Lemitzrayim Yischaber Aleph Kel Yud. Okay, this we have to work out, but I see it's time to end. But we see over and over again that the name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which really represents Din, and that's the Helem of Yud Kei Vav Kei, somehow there is an addition here to the Din, the Aleph and the Yud, which is going to be a Mituk HaDin, some sort of a mixture of Midas HaRacham. Alright, we'll stop here, and we'll wish you a Freilichim Purim. Hopefully we'll be Zochet to the Hizgalos of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the absolute Chemla and Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll be Zochet to Yeshuos, Meneflos, Bayomim HaHem, Bazman HaZeh.